everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of I Cast Fireball, an actual play 5e D&D adventure where we go through the campaign, Tyranny of Dragons. I am Thomas, your DM for this adventure, and around the table we have...
Malamara.
Lance Thalen.
Fleeple.
And Ralph.
That's right. We've got Ralph back with us. Joshua, thank you so much for joining us yet again on this crazy adventure, this casino event that we have going on.
I'm very happy to be here. Very happy to be here.
Forgot your name was Ralph.
Yes. It's the short version. You know, it's an elf name. It's got a, you know, something really long and elegant and fancy, but you can call me Ralph.
Yeah, we wouldn't know anything about that in our group.
Well... let's check in with where our adventurers find themselves. The Jank Squad, having recently come to Neverwinter through the Harper teleportation circle, recently saved, quote-unquote saved Ralph from a bunch of hoodlums who were trying to join the Cult of the Dragon, and due to the good nature of their hearts, they also scared them away from the cult. Ralph decided to help the Jank Squad find Resmir, and with the clue of Lottie's coin, they headed to Lottie's place, a local casino slash gambling hall, where Fleeple experienced a lot of firsts in life. Experienced, apparently, being inebriated for the first time, being poisoned through that inebriation, and him and Ralph were successful in their gamblings. While this was going on, and Mal was hovering like a mother at Chuck E. Cheese, Lance got a meeting with Lottie, who revealed that they had some sort of relationship in the past. What was that relationship? We'll find out right here on this week's episode.
He learned a Lottie from that meeting.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if clever. I don't know if I would use the word clever, but
no, that was beautiful. That was, I would use the word beautiful.
Definitely. He's just worth a guest appearance. Like, you don't need to suck up to our guest host.
I won't be here for very long. I'm going to get all the terrible puns in that I can.
Okay. Well, before we get to that conversation between Lance and Lottie, Fleeple and Ralph, or rather Ned and Josh, you both wanted to gamble a little, didn't you?
Maybe.
And without going into a role-playing aspect, before we start recording, I had him roll a series of percentile dice to determine the success and failure. And so both of you went to the same table. This time it was blackjack, so to speak. And so you played five games and just kind of get a feel of it. And then with a little success, a little failure, both of you doubled down. Like you put it all in on the last hand and you hit 21. And so you doubled your winnings. And so you're like, this is amazing. So you rode that wave over to the three card ante table. And there are a lot of veteran players over there, and you're riding high. Fleeple, you're inebriated enough to feel like you're doing an amazing job. And so both of you, after five rounds of three-card ante, lost all the winnings from the blackjack game and ended up with just one Lottie coin each.
I would say it's more than I had when I came in, but that is not true.
If I'm being honest, I have no real strong concept of the value of currency.
What do you use for, like, barter and trade out in the woods?
Eat rabbits?
I was always more partial to squirrels myself, but to each their own.
They're not bad. Kinda gamey.
And with Mal having to endure this wilderness conversation...
Mal's probably right at home. Mal's probably chiming
in
with
some
stuff.
She probably is right at home, and she's probably going like, oh, what you really got to try, and we jump over to Lance Thalen, meeting Lottie. And Lance, just recall this room that you were in. This room is essentially a reflection pool between you and Lottie with a massive water fountain in between you. She's on one side about 15 feet away, so having to speak up a bit, but the water fountain isn't drowning out the conversation. It is surprisingly quiet for the water it is exuding. Like, this place is meant to be peaceful and relaxing and zen. But she, on the other side,
when you call her dove, she goes, "Oh, I always hated that name you gave me."
"Yes, well, I wasn't the smoothest operator back then."
No, you weren't. No, but that's why... And she points her finger at you and she goes, "That's why I kept you around there, Lancey."
"Oh, we don't have to bring up that name either, do we?"
"Well, I assume you didn't want to just bring up the past with me, Lance Thalen."
No. Sorry about how things went down. I didn't mean to split on you like that. Things just got precarious on my side of things, and anyway, that's neither here nor there."
"Well, when you work for Vandal, that's sort of the nature of the beast, wouldn't you say?"
Lance will just kind of tug at his collar a bit and go, quite right. "Enough about the past. Lottie, I respect you as a businesswoman. I respect you in your candor and your talents. So I'm just going to be straight with you. We need to find someone who me and my friends have heard is possibly gracing your establishment. And this is someone, Lottie, I know you deal with a bunch of types and the darker side of the city, but this is something far worse than I've ever seen. You don't want this in your establishment. It's something that won't bring, it will take."
"Well, first off, I appreciate the honesty. This is something new, and it's..." She lifts her shoulders and just, it's quite refreshing, actually, to have somebody be so blunt, especially you who tried to weasel on in, find out what I was about, what my goings on were."
"Yes, that was part. I figured you knew that. But I will say, you also kept me around quite a bit, even knowing what my purpose was."
"Yes, I did. It was fun to see you try. It was fun to see you try to, you know, pull out my secrets, if you will. And, from time to time, I enjoy having some company. It can be a little lonely here. I mean... Of course, I have my work that I work on, but you know, sometimes it is nice to interact with a living element, so to speak."
"Yes, well, it was also nice to see sometimes you take off that mask and just..."
"Yes, I did take parts of it off for you, but regardless... You say you need to find somebody. You accuse me of being dealing with the underbelly or the dark part of the city. Well, it's true. I mean, clearly it is. But who do you need to find? Who do you think would be in an establishment of mine?"
"Lottie, have you ever heard the name Resmir?"
She looks off to the side, taps her chin. Resmir. Ah, yes, Resmir. Ghastly business with the Cult of the Dragon, I believe, yes?
"Yes, quite right."
Yes, I know of her. I also know the company she keeps with, and I have to say, some of them I quite like."
"Well, this Cult of the Dragon, as you know, their name tries to insert itself into different parts of society, blending in, as you were. So that's not surprising that they would mingle with the kind that you'd get along with. But again, Lottie, this is not something you want to have in your place of business."
"Well, assuming to know my business, Lance Thalen," as she leans forward, and she's been slowly walking from one side of the room to get to your side. "Pretending to know my business, or are you trying to figure out and assuming what my business is? That is a mistake, Lancey. Why would you assume that I wouldn't want them to be part of my company? I mean, maybe they have lots of money. Maybe they have lots of influence. Maybe they're just really bad at playing cards. Wouldn't all of those be something I want in my business?
You're right. You're right. That is something that Lucky Lottie would want. But the Lottie that I knew, the Dove, had some kind of baseline of moral. You screwed those who screwed you, but you didn't hurt those who are innocent. And that is exactly what Resmia and her kind do.
Go and roll an insight check.
Okay. Ooh, that's not good. That's not good. It's going to be 10.
10.
She walked along the fountain.
Ah, yes. You can tell that you like water. That's why you built this like, thing here, isn't it?
Just like doves like water.
I do like water.
As she walks over to you, and she's about 15 feet away from you on your side of the fountain. And you can, just from like trying to read her, trying to get a bead on her, she just seems different from the person you knew. Not like, oh my gosh, this is a completely new person, but like time has moved on. Time has possibly changed her. Maybe you changed her a bit, but she doesn't appear to be reacting remorseful or regretful, and so maybe she has no recollection of Resmir. Maybe she doesn't know or hasn't had any interaction with Resmir. It's hard to gauge whether she's just become hardened or is just ignorant in this particular instance. As she gets 10 feet away from you, she stops. Lance, I appreciate you coming here to check up on me, but you've been away from Neverwinter for quite some time. I wouldn't say things have necessarily changed so much as they've gone on without you. For goodness sake, Vandal isn't even here anymore.
Yes, I heard.
Initially, I thought you had disappeared with them, and yet here you are. In my establishment, at my doorstep, begging me to not interact with this Resmir character? Or is this the person you need help finding?
I would say both. We need help finding her, and I don't want to see you caught up in it.
Well, I can certainly make no promises that I can tell you her whereabouts if she's not in the city of Neverwinter, but if you're fairly confident, I'll see what I can do. For a price, of course.
Yes, of course, Lottie, of course. What is your price?
Well, this is the part where you offer me a price. And I get to tell you if it's too high or if it's too low.
And what are the chances she's going to ever say if it's too high?
Oh, boy. Lance is going to try something. Why not?
It's not a great place to be at when you're bartering.
Yeah, it's very true.
And Lance has already proven himself to be so good at bartering ever since we met Ralph.
Yes, very good. Very good haggling skills. Haggling. Lance is going to just... I'm just going to try it. This is the first thing that came to my mind. I'm going to try it. Lance is going to take out one gold coin, and he's going to flick it into the fountain. And he says, one gold coin and one dance like we used to. And he will take out his dagger and sword.
Wait, what kind of dance?
What?
I'm sorry, I'm having flashbacks to the Animaniacs where they would say something and then Yakko would just look at the camera and say, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. No, Lance is obviously implying that apparently they used to, at some point in their relationship, used to spar with each other.
Oh, like a fight.
Yeah, they used to actually, again, in what I'm picturing this relationship was, there was a competition element to it, and this was a way to show competition.
As you flick the coin into the fountain, go ahead and roll me a perception check first off. Right.
Love this. So Casablanca.
Mm.
He is looking at you, kid.
Quiet, Sam.
That's 21.
21. The water seems to be disturbed a lot more than normal. As you flick it in, it starts to ripple, and then it's almost like it starts to grow before it subsides. It's very unnatural.
Was I, in my history, was that something I would ever be aware of? That the water did something like that in the past?
No.
Okay.
Not that you've been able, not that, like, you never came across it before. And Lottie goes, Lance Thalen. I do miss our little dances. I do miss beating you repeatedly.
I was close.
Almost every time. There was one time you got me, but I was called away before we could finish. I am afraid that I cannot accept your offer.
Could I do another insight check?
Sure.
I just feel like this is... something's off. That's going to be better. That's 17.
Okay. You look at her face and you try to, like, pierce what's going on. Like, she used to really take part in this. She used to really enjoy this. And her face just has that smile that where she's got a smirk on and she's kind of like shaking her head slowly at you with these eyes that go like, oh, Lance. And she's got her hands, holding her hands gently in front of her, and just goes, I'm afraid I have some other business I need to attend to. Some other patrons needing to speak with me, some other people needing favors, and if that's your only offer, I'm afraid I must go. And very casually, she just turns around and starts to walk away from you.
Okay, Lance is going to try one more thing, because this is weird. I feel like this is weird. Lance is going to start talking, and he's just going to be like, well, it's a shame. I know there's a lovely moon out, and, you know, sometimes I like to go drinking at the tavern. And he's just going to start, like, randomly babbling. And he's going to try and work into his random babble a message in Thieves' Cant language.
Okay.
Knowing that Lottie will pick up on this if she's in her right mind. He's going to say in Thieves' Cant, somehow, someway, he's going to basically say, and where is my dove flying off to this evening?
Since you've been rambling and Thieves' Cant takes a little bit longer to convey a message, she has made her way all the way back to the double doors that are on the opposite side of this room. And I don't believe I described in full detail this room as well. This room is quite long. It is about 60 feet wide and about 30 feet from your double doors to the double doors that she is going to exit. There appear to be two other doors as well off to the side, but nothing of consequence. These double doors appear to be the big ticket items here, or the big entrance and exit. And as she gets to the door, she slows her pace as she catches what you're saying.
Probably still talking, and sometimes the river runs south when it runs north, and just like babble nonsense that can be translated to Thieves' Cant.
I'm like 50-50 she's just leaving, or she's gonna turn into a crazy kind of monster and eat you.
That would not be the first time that has happened on this podcast.
Yeah, how much we want to bet she stabs herself with a dragon tooth.
There it is.
And starts transforming.
Tie okay. Back in.
As she stops and she looks at you, she looks back to the double door she's about to exit, and she decides to face you, and she speaks a little bit. Lance, you always were obsessed with history. Your heritage with these, where the roads go, where they come from, with the weather of the day, and she starts to speak a little bit, more articulately than you, but she starts to respond in Thieves' Cant. And in Thieves' Cant, you pick up to a better offer, but with someone as dark as night.
To a better offer?
Yes, because your question was, and where is my dove heading?
So she's going to a better offer someone as dark as night.
And with that, she goes, and I must really be going now. There's some books that need attending, some ledgers that need some reviewing. And she cups her hand. Maybe even a few ledgers that need adjusting, if you get what I'm saying.
You knew I was quite good at that.
Ta, Lancy. Yep, yes, yes, ta. And she just walks through the double doors, and right before she goes, she lifts up her hand backwards towards you, and then you hear some movement from the fountain, and the gold coin flings itself from the fountain, pops in her hand, and she clasps it before the doors close behind her. And then the double doors behind you open back up into the gambling hall area.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
So.
All right.
We're going to jump to, at this point, Lance comes back out to more wilderness talk with Ralph, Fleeple, and Malamara.
Yeah, just real quick, I got to commend Jacob on that scene because for a solid stretch, you got me to forget how clammy Lance is.
No. There's so much sweat underneath these clothes right now.
Just drenched.
That what's that Jordan Peele gif?
Oh, just
where the water's just coming down.
Water going down.
Sweating.
I just walk out. Everyone's like, "What happened? I fell in the fountain. I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah. Well done though, Jacob. Inspiration to you.
Oh, look at that.
Very nice. Thomas, could I hold back while they kind of greet him as he comes out to see what...
Absolutely.
They're going to want to know what he's, you know, learned or whatever. I'm just going to slowly follow behind, and I would like to cast Locate Object.
Sure, absolutely.
And so specifically, I'm going to describe kind of under my breath, hand on my sword. Where is the dragon mask recovered by the Severum? Nearest me, and within 1,000 feet, I know where the direction of that object should be, unless it's encased in lead. And if it's in motion, I know the direction of the motion.
You feel a dragon mask pulsing past where Lance is exiting from, but further into this building. And you just feel this. And then it gets cut off.
Like, it stopped? Like, it's gone?
Yeah, so, like, you were like, ah, there it is. I feel... Wait a minute. What happened?
Okay. Cool. Hey, how's it going, Lance? But everybody?
It's good. I just... Do I have to repeat everything I just said? I feel like...
Unless you learned something, I don't need to hear about it. I'm along for the ride.
How forthcoming was Lance in terms of this dove talk?
Oh, nothing. You get nothing about that. You get... Lance comes out and he basically, like, I was able to get a private meeting with the owner of the establishment. I asked them towards helping us find this character.
Fleeple, you can roll an insight check and I'll have it be a composed charisma check. I'm not going to reveal everything here, but we'll see what Fleeple can glean.
Well, you know, Fleeple's got this sport. That's a 22.
Okay, so go ahead and roll a general charisma check then, Lance.
Just a charisma.
If you want to be if you want to be deceptive, you can.
I'm not being deceptive. I mean, I'm leaving things out on purpose, obviously, but I'm not like outright being like, "Oh, nothing happened. I don't know." Like,
no, I totally get you. In words, like you're telling them all truth, but the part you're holding back, I'll say that that's still a little deceptive. You know, talking about referring to your relationship, so that should give you a little bit of a bump, a little bit of a boost.
That's like when I was a kid and I told my mom. She said, "Did you brush your teeth?" And I said, "Yes," and then she goes, "Today," and I would go, "No."
My roll was 17.
Okay, so 22 to 17. Lance, Fleeple, you can pick up on this. Everything he's saying is true. Everything he's saying is right. Obviously, you've relied on Lance for months now, and you know that you can rely on him forever. But when he talks about the owner of the establishment, to bring up what you... He gets a little bit more clammy, so to speak. Like, a little bit of water starts to bead. He starts to pat himself with a rag. Just...
just like, ah, it's hot in here, but you can you feel like it might be a little bit of a cover when he speaks about this individual. Like, maybe they do have a history. What that history is, I don't know.
I just imagine, like, Lance saying, like, Lottie, and Fleeple feeling like, Dove, Dove, Dove.
So would you say that he is giving an appearance or impression different from the true one, or misleading, which is the dictionary definition of being deceptive?
You asked if I was lying.
I think so.
Not deceptive.
No?
No, there's just an impression when he's talking. He's not lying about her relationship with him, with her.
It's an insight.
Unless you want to ask about it.
But yeah, Lance conveys, met with the tavern person. I've known them for my time in Neverwinter. I made them an offer to be able to give us this, which I thought was pretty good, which I honestly did, because I think that, like, I thought that would, like, tie into her for some reason. But and then I will convey, like, also, and subtly I got the message from them, and I'll relay it, that they are looking for, they are going somewhere for a better offer, a better deal, but the person is dark as night. So Lance is basically going to be like, so I'm not sure. I don't think they trust. They're intrigued by this better deal, wherever they're going to. I think it's where we want to go to, but I feel like they also don't trust them.
Dark as night? Is that what you said they said?
Yes. Correct.
Isn't Resmir a black dragon person?
We didn't have that information. How did you know that?
I'm pretty sure that's just regular information most people are aware of.
No, and Ralph, you would definitely know from your history, and I mean, in you... You've expressed to them, like, yeah, I know about the Cult of the Dragon, and so Resmir has had a presence in this city as well, so Resmir being a black half-dragon, that's definitely knowledge that you've come across.
So, yeah, I mean, like, that's, I'm pretty sure, you didn't mention that? I thought, Fleeple, didn't you mention something about Resmir?
What's the dictionary definition of deception?
I'll be honest, I didn't even know that Resmir was a woman.
Yeah,
same.
New information
same
there.
Samesies.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a wealth of knowledge. That's why you guys want to have me.
Do you have any other, like, wells we need to tap in with that knowledge?
I think we should go that way.
Wait, what? He points toward the thing.
I point in the direction that I sent the mask.
So, let me go ahead and... I'm just realizing now, and I apologize if I haven't described... the entirety of the room that you're in as well. It's a big room. I mean, all of you kind of are congregated by these double doors on the north side that you have right now. But this room, there is a lot to feature. The middle area is where most of the gambling happens. And that's where a lot of drinks are being served, a lot of bets are being made. The northeast, which some of you are aware, is the barkeep area. There does appear to be a door that presumably goes in and out of a kitchen that the barkeep goes back and forth. The east side, there is some entertainment where three elven women are playing harps in these beautiful, almost Greek-type robes as they pluck away. We have the restrooms, the chip area in the southeast and southwest. But down on the northwest portion, you see a door which has an obvious and very literal padlock on it. And this is a metal door as well.
Is that in the direction that I sensed?
It's not in that specific a direction. The direction is through the double doors that you sensed.
Do I know what that door leads to, being somewhat familiar with the establishment?
Yeah, that door typically goes upstairs to a hallway, sort of like a... not necessarily like a servant's staircase, if you will, or like a servant's hallway, but it kind of functions that way. Of like, if need be, there can be some sensitive items that way, but it can also serve as a way to get to other places in the establishment.
And do I know where her double doors led?
Typically, they go to her office and her room in the back.
And is there a way to get from there, from that padlock door?
The only way you got to her room was through the atrium here. She just would take you straight through the double doors, so you are unsure.
Is there someone standing at the double doors that would prevent us from going back through there?
No, but as you walk up to it and try to push or open it, they appear to be locked.
I cast knock.
You what?
Do you have knock?
Yes. Yeah, I cast knock.
Oh.
I cast thieves' tools. No, I'm sorry. I'm
just joking. I just want to open it and act like I didn't cast a spell.
Okay.
Hey, Mal, I think you tried to pull it the wrong way. It's open. This is an open door.
Go ahead and roll a deceptive check then. A deception check, just to like try and mutter under your breath this spell.
All right, let me see here. 16. Would that be like against her perception?
It would be against anybody's passive perception here.
Lance, I'm not saying that you weren't helpful. I'm just saying that these doors are now locked.
I know that, but I am a thief.
Fleeple, you're the only one with a passive perception high enough to hear this like muttering under his breath. And Ralph is, you look at Ralph and he's kind of like looking to the west and he's like, and says, hey, Mal, why don't you try again?
Mal just gives him a look and goes, yeah, okay. And tries to push on the door again. And it swings open. Lance, I apologize.
I did, for what? I'm so confused.
Apparently it wasn't locked. I apologize. So this
I'm
way,
not confused
yeah?
about anything. I'm just going up these stairs. Do.
There you go.
Why are we? What are we?
I'll just follow.
As you all walk into this room, it's as I described to Jacob previous. This is a beautiful 60 foot by 30 foot, very quiet room despite the fountain dispersing that water in the middle.
Oh, I thought we were going to the side room you were talking about with the padlock.
Josh, you intended the double doors, right? Or the...
I think it was Mal that mentioned the double doors.
Yeah, I thought we were going through the double doors.
Okay.
Works for me.
I would like that because that's the direction I sense the mask. And I did say that that's the direction I want to go, but I didn't go test the doors. I'm waiting on them.
Cool. So, yeah, we'll go through the double doors then. And this is the room. And Lance, you're like, well, here it is. The atrium, so to speak. And the beautiful fountain in the center. And it is fairly quiet despite there being a fountain in the center of the room.
I was just going to say, as soon as we enter the room, I'm going to whisper over to Malamara, Malamara, find magic here. This room is a heavily guarded room. It's not just a lock.
And Mal will blink her eyes a few times and activate her Eldritch Sight.
Whoa. I'm assuming I don't tell. Do I catch that? Is that done secretly?
I mean, you hear the conversation, but Mal just kind of like blinks and she doesn't have to mutter anything since it is one of her incantations. And so she just looks. And Mal, this room doesn't appear to be terribly magic. The big things that stick out to you are mainly the thousands of gems that are glittering at the bottom of this pool. Gems that seem to be rare, but are shining light everywhere. The door that is closing behind you now is magical. There seems to be a magic lock on it. The door 30 feet away from you is also double doors and also has magic on it as well. And then, oddly enough, the water in front of you appears to be magical. But not like the whole thing of water, but like a portion of it seems to be moving through. And it appears to be magic moving through the water.
So nobody touched the water.
I pull my hand away.
Yeah, I've just been staring at the gems, thinking to myself, if this is what people are offering, what did Lance offer? And it still wasn't enough. I mean, come on.
Himself. And it wasn't enough.
I offered myself. I'm not enough.
A dance.
Never enough.
Never.
Kids, you are enough.
Oh, the third of the billion spotlights.
This is what happens when we don't play Hotspot as a warm-up.
Yeah, we got to do Hotspot next time.
We just put Hotspot in the...
Moving on.
Why can't I touch the glittering water?
I just wouldn't. There's something moving in it. Also, the doors in front of us have a magical lock on it.
Oh, man.
And there are two other doors, right? Do the other two doors from that room have that same aura coming off of them?
No, they are not magical.
And you guys, I would like to walk towards the door, the other doors that are the direction I sensed, and the double doors, and say, do any of you guys know how to open a magical door that's locked?
No. just a normal one, or at least he does.
I know how to. I can pick a lock.
But Lance, do you know where these other two doors go? Are you familiar with this room? You said you've been to Lottie's place before. You seem to have some intimate knowledge of Lottie's place. She says innocently.
Thomas, do I know where these doors lead?
You don't. Like I said, when you walked through this, it was just to go to the other side of the double doors. You only ever entered this room with Lottie. So there was no need to go to the other doors.
Okay, look, I would like to unsheath Jeremy. All right, look, this is Jeremy. Say hi, and I wave my sword at them. Say hi, Jeremy.
He's crazy.
Jeremy speaks up and goes,
"Hello, everyone. My name is Jeremy."
What?
So, hello, yes, I'm magical, and I do a little, like bow, very elegant,
ha-cha-cha.
Elf-like. All right, Jeremy, okay.
Well, we knew that. You could turn into a wolf.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Of course. Jeremy, I'd like to dispel the magic on this wall.
Why, yes, of course. I will be glad to assist you, Ralph. Together, we can dispel the magic in this door.
We can.
All together, we can accomplish great things.
Jeremy, and I point him at the door, and I cast Dispel Magic.
Dispel!
And I quickly sheath him.
I love this sword. I love this sword so much.
We never talked about how this was going to play out, and I was not expecting it to go this way.
This was
but
beautiful.
I don't want it to have gone any other way. I'm very happy.
Jeremy's like the hype man of any adventure.
Dispel.
Dispel magic.
I'm the most stealthy character. Like, I can hide anywhere, and that just ruins the,
I love
the
it. Minute.
But it's only when you unsheathe them.
Yeah, well, I got to cast a third level spell. Okay, so if the ward, if whatever magic is on the door is third level or lower, it automatically is dispelled without any extra effort. If it's higher than that, I got to roll something.
It, Mal, as this sword yells, dispel, you sense that the magic on the door goes away. It is dispelled successfully.
Yeah, so that probably did it. You just hear like a muffled hrump from the...
Fleeple, with your passive perception, you see the water starting to ripple a little bit more intently.
Oh boy, let's get through that door right now, right quick. Get everybody, pick it on up, pick it up, pick it up.
I need everybody to roll initiative.
Oh.
No!
To determine how fast you can get through this room.
By the way, you guys could have totally met Jeremy the very first episode. If
I could have just unsheathed the sword and
picked up my gear.
Oh, boy.
All right. Fleeple, initiative.
All right. Can I get advantage if I try and skank my way through that door?
Skank?
Skank your way through the...
No. No.
Okay,
I love the kudos. You're still at disadvantage, right?
Yeah, that's a 7.
Okay. Sounds good. Lance.
I got a 9. I am terrible at initiative rolls.
Okay. Ralph.
12.
Mal.
That's a natural 1 for 3. I'm just so shocked looking at the water. I can see the magic rippling.
So, wow. Okay. So at this point, we had Ralph on the other side of the pool, right?
I'm by the next set of double doors, yeah.
Yes. And was anybody else really over there?
I assumed we all would have gone over there if he was trying to dispel the magic on the door.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll say that you're like halfway there, so to speak, as you're just kind of like looking around, surveying the area. Lance, we'll say that you're over here looking on the east side. Maybe like you were about to head to one of the doors to be like, can I pick this lock maybe? Fleeple, you and Mal are probably pretty close to each other near Ralph. Fleeple, you're probably a little hanging behind, massaging your skull, your temples. And the water starts to ripple and actually grow. Ralph, you see this and you're like, oh gosh, this doesn't look good. And you're actually first in the initiative order.
Yes. The doors are unlocked.
Yes, they open and there is a small hallway down. Not too terribly long that you can see, but it is a small hallway and there's another double set of doors about 15 feet away from you.
I'm going to go scout ahead and I'm going to go through the doors.
The double doors?
Yes, I will leave.
Okay, sounds good. As you go forward, you are not engaged with the creature currently, whatever is happening with the water, so you don't need to disengage. You're just like,
You guys got this, right?
You're going to run through the double doors, open them, and then close them behind you.
Yes.
What the?
The other side...
Why would you close them behind you?
Because that's what the DM determined.
Do you see what I revealed in Roll 20?
Yes. Yes. There's a person in here.
Two,
a couple
in
people.
Fact.
There's yes. Two.
So, as you go into these doors, these double doors are very large, and it reveals this room appears to be quite luxurious, decorated with fine art, rich carpets, several leather couches, and a boardroom table. Behind the leather couches, there is a large double-wide window that overlooks the ocean and cliffside, as this casino is worked into the stonework of Neverwinter itself. Crystal balls sitting on pedestals around the room flicker and glow, and a huge fish tank swarms with unusual creatures. Some of them are even alive. You focus on the two individuals in this room. Sitting on one of the sofas is a black half-dragon in purple robes reading a book.
Lottie, is there any chance I could get one of your servants to come massage my scales? I don't mind if they're undead.
And the other individual is a very tall, bald, tattooed-faced, red-robed human. And this individual scoffs and goes,
I should hope not with the company that you are keeping, Resmir.
And both of them seem to be reading books and don't look up at you.
So wait, did the black dragon refer to the bald person as Lottie?
No. They appear to think that you are Lottie walking into the room.
Oh!
Yes! Just a moment!
Well, by my stars! What did she ask for?
If one of her servants could come rub her scales.
Okay. Yes, actually, I was sent by Lottie. She said you might be in need of foot scale rubbing.
Oh my gosh.
Some scale rubbing. Go ahead and roll a deception check.
18.
18, okay.
I only have a plus 2. I have a negative 1 to charisma.
Welcome to the club.
I think everybody here, except for Ned or Fleeple, has a negative in charisma. Oh, and Mal.
Mal has a plus 1, I believe.
So I rolled fairly well.
As you state, I was sent here by Lottie. Resmir looks up at you.
I smile.
Kind of cocks their head to the side.
Well, you're not the type of person I was expecting. You come in here completely armed to the teeth.
Lottie would have it no other way. She doesn't want anybody in here that can't also act as guard if needed. There are, she said there's a group of people here who might be looking for you.
And I'm going to check what her insight role is.
In my head, I'm just going, this was a mistake, this was a mistake.
And she goes back to reading her book, and she starts to lay on the couch and props her feet up on the table and goes,
you can start with my claws down there, then.
Okie dokie. And as I walk over to massage her toes, I guess I can do it next turn. I realize we're still kind of in combat order.
Yeah, we're exactly in combat
here. Your action next turn will be to massage toes.
But you can move. You use the rest of your movement. You only use 15. You can. She's only 15 feet away from you, so you can get to her toes to start rubbing them next turn. Let's jump back to the room where everything else is happening. Fleeple, Mal, and Lance, all of you see Ralph just run away from this, saying, I'm gonna go scout ahead. And you look directly into the water and you see this gigantic water blob starting to rise from the water. It's starting to take shape. It's starting to take form of a almost humanoid, but terrible and big and large. This water elemental looks at all three of you and just sits there in silence for a moment before it launches its arm at Mal, closest to the door, closest to escape, and rolls an attack.
I feel like you guys are mad at me.
No, of course not. As the party,
if you just
probably,
don't
yeah.
show up in our podcast, I have no control over that.
Oh no,
don't take it
the
personal.
Editor, dang it. Oh,
we lost
your
the
audio.
Josh's
the editor happened to just edit you out for some reason.
Thomas, you know what? I want
this
more guests
brilliant.
Who betray us. Can we do that? Can we get more?
Mal, does a 19 hit?
I don't know. Yes, it does.
I'm just over here trying to remember all my stuff I can do because we haven't had combat since we leveled up.
I know, it's combat.
I know, I was like, right? I don't know, does it? Yes, it does.
Okay, Mal, you take 13 points of bludgeoning damage as you are slammed into the back wall right by the doors that are next to you. And Fleeple, the next attack comes towards you. I'm assuming an 11 does not hit.
Does not.
So as you see Mal just get smashed, this water elemental goes for you, but you duck and you cover with your wings, and the water like buffets you for a little bit before you burst your wings open and the water sprays everywhere. You're still poisoned, but man, are you awake and alert. That is the water elemental's turn. They're gonna move a little bit closer to the doors, but still remain in the pool. Okay, so I believe it is Fleeple's turn?
Okay. First thing I'm going to do is, using my bonus action, I'm first going to pull out a sprig of mistletoe, and since I'm right next to Mal, use one of my ritual of the mistletoe abilities to cast Cure Wounds. Mal, that's going to give you 6 hit points.
Nice.
And now I'm going to follow after Ralph, gonna run towards those double doors.
And you actually burst through the double doors if you so choose.
Yeah, so before I get too far away, I'm moving in that direction. I'm going to get just into the hallway between the two sets of double doors because I still want to be within range of all my friends, hoping that I'm within range of Ralph, and I'm going to use my action to cast my Emboldening Bond, which is my new cleric ability. So I can choose up to 3 willing creatures within 30 feet of me. I don't have to see them. And for the next 10 minutes, as long as any of you are within 10 feet, are within 30 feet of any of the others, once per turn, you can add a d4 to any attack roll, saving throw, or ability check.
That's nice.
Cleric of the Peace Domain is so good.
That's so nice. I feel so,
that
like,
is so good.
It's stellar.
Emboldened.
I might feel a little guilty for having left so quickly.
No worries. Fleeple thinks that you're the best. Fleeple doesn't know that you're going to betray us.
Fantastic. So do you eventually go into the room then, Fleeple, or are you chilling outside the hallway waiting for your friends to follow?
I look at my friends. I look towards the door where Ralph just went, and I'm going to roll for impulsiveness. I'm not feeling super impulsive. I'm going to stay here where I can keep an eye on my other friends, but I am going to slowly peek through those double doors and see if I can figure out what Ralph is doing.
Excellent. As you peek through the double doors, you see Ralph getting on his knees, about to grasp the scales to start apparently massaging, and you see a person in red robes and somebody, this creature in purple robes that Ralph is partially obscuring. So it's pretty big. It's a pretty big deal, I would say.
Yeah, I freeze. There's a million things running through my head all at once. I look into my bag and look at Mondath's purple regalia that she was wearing and look over at Resmir. Then I look at the red robes that I got from that wizard down in the necrotic section. And I look up at this guy in the red robes, and my brain just, like, there's just smoke coming out of my ears right now, trying to process everything that's happening in here.
All right, Lance, it's your go. You're the furthest away.
Okay. Malamar's not held. She just got hit, right?
Correct. She just got hit. Water is drifting off of her now as it's moving back towards the pool as it's starting to reform its arms.
Oh, boy. I don't know what to do here. And is there, because Mal's like right in that pathway, is there a way I can get by her, or does it kind of bottleneck?
I mean, you can get by her, yeah. She's kind of on the ground picking herself up. It's not like her whole frame takes up the 5-foot narrow portion there. So yeah, you can get by her easily.
I have an idea. Could we say that after having looked through this door, do I have enough time to shout something to Lance?
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out Mondath's robes, hold them out, and say, Lance, turn into Mondath.
What?
Oh
my gosh.
Because you have the hat of disguise.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about my hat of disguise.
So, Lance.
Okay. Lance is going to, trusting his party, he's going to, because doing the hat of disguise is an action, I believe. I believe that's an action.
Yes, I believe so.
Lance is going to run over, and as Mal's kind of getting up, he's going to kind of do like the whole like rolling onto the back of your friend to get by. Like just, thank you. And he'll kind of go through the doors where Fleeple's at.
Before you go through the doors, the water elemental is going to take an attack of opportunity.
Oh, I didn't know it was that close. It's within 5 feet.
It is pretty close. It's going to be within 5 feet of you.
I will bonus action disengage.
Ah, never mind. So.
This water elemental is feeling very ignored.
It tries to, but like you just like dive through the water like a perfect just shh, and so ooh. It doesn't do anything. It's,
oh, I'm man. Just trying to do my job.
You go over, you grab the robes with your interact, and they're fairly simple to put on. It's just like a robe you slip over your head. It's a little bit too small for you because Mondath was a fairly small person, not like it's still human, but a small
one.
I
don't need to put on the robes. I can just put on the hat of disguise. It changes my entire wardrobe.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about putting on the robe.
I will put on the robe.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll just put on the hat of disguise, and I will transform myself into the human, or the humanoid version of Mondath. Not the last time we saw Mondath.
Yes. Yes, not the dragon monstrosity. Excellent.
Or the dead one.
Okay.
And as I do that, the last thing I will do is say to Fleeple, okay, I did it. Why?
And I reach up and I just grasp his front and I pull myself up as close as I can and I say, Resmir is in there. You're pretty good at deceiving people. Do what you did in the caldera. That's and I just pat him on the side of the face and push him towards the door.
Excellent.
Gain a proficiency.
So as you get thrust through the door, Fleeple, you hold yourself back slightly. Ralph, you are inches from Resmir, and this new person comes through the door wearing purple robes. A woman, about 5 feet tall, short of like cropped hair, almost pixie cut, looking panting, breathing heavily, looking somewhat disheveled. And Resmir stands up at this and goes, Mondath, but I thought you were dead.
Yes.
They killed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm just going to like look at Ralph at what he's currently doing. Just like kind of confused, and then look at Resmir, and Mondath's accent was French, right?
It was.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst. I go, every time I do a French accent, I go German. This is not good.
baguette.
Sing the song from The Little Mermaid. Les poissons.
Les poissons, les poissons.
All right. But a woman, French. Oh, this is so bad. This is just so bad, because...
First I chop off their head, accents. And I pull out their bones.
It don't hurt, because you're dead.
I'll just kind of like straighten up as Mondath and go, you thought I was dead?
Yes, we all did.
I did.
And she pushes Ralph out of the way and walks cautiously towards you within 15 feet of you or so.
Can I keep talking, or are we going to, or are you in combat?
Are we still in turn order? Mal is all by herself.
So go ahead. We will come back to this, and Mal, you can finish the round here in combat.
Well, Mal will leave the room. She will use her action to disengage, because she's not a rogue. Move out of that room, and with her bonus action, just shut the doors and hold them. Hold her body up against the back of the doors, just dripping wet.
You hear this sad, like,
come on, come on,
before it drifts away and the water starts to subside behind you, behind the doors. So that was your action.
I like how we just with Thomas is like, I ignore your encounter and will raise you an encounter.
Oh, you think you can just bypass my monster? You're going to have to rub some feet.
Yes, and...
Mal, what are you doing to finish out your turn?
That was it. That was action, movement, and bonus action.
She's trying to cope with her anxiety. That's her bonus action.
All right, so on this tense, climactic moment, we're going to end this week's episode of I Cast Fireball.
Oh, God. Baby.
Oof. This is exactly what I thought it would be. I knew this is saw it all playing out. It's like,
there it is.
Well, I mean, Ralph obviously knows a lot of stuff that we
all thought you
know,
were dead.
So.
Yep, all of us, all together. We're, yep,
all
I'm
of
here.
Us. Yeah, you were dead.
I'm one
the
of these guys.
That Lottie sent in was like,
I am just as shocked as everyone else.
Just
here.
Lord.
We all did. We all knew it.
This is so true.
We went to your funeral.
I just work here, but I thought you were dead.
Yeah, I'm the servant here, but yet I know what's
going
on.
I don't even know who this person is.
It's amazing. Wow, folks. Well, things went a little sideways in a good direction, I would say. What is going to happen? I am so stoked to find out what's going to happen here in this next week episode of I Cast Fireball. Everybody, players, thank you for joining me. Josh, a special thank you to you for taking time joining us for this wonderful leg of the adventure. But listeners, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of I Cast Fireball. We just really appreciate you taking the time to give us a chance. And if you like what you're hearing, liking what we're doing, please leave us a 5-star review on the podcatcher of your choice. It helps us know that you like what's going on here, and it gets us into other people's recommended feeds. We've had another surge of listeners join in on the adventure, and it just warms our heart to see that, to let us know that this adventure is worthwhile and continue to be worth being told. So if you want to leave something a little bit longer than a review, shoot us an email, icastfireball2020@gmail.com. Let us know what adventures you are running through, what interesting moments you found from this week's episode, what secrets do you think Ralph is still hiding that is yet to be revealed, things like that. On that note, we've got a couple of shout-outs to give out here at the end, some fan shout-outs, people who've reached out to us on Instagram or shot us an email as well. The first and foremost, longtime friend of the show, Callie Ann. You can go look her at Callie Ann Creates. I highly recommend you look at her artwork on Instagram. It is fantastic. She just reached out to us recently and said, I'm listening to episode 41, and I'm sorry, Fleeple, but the librarian, Quilliam, may be my new favorite character. Yeah, he's my wife's favorite character as well. She said, in that order, it's Quilliam, Mud, and then Fleeple. And so I don't think you're alone there, Kellyanne. Thank you so much for reaching out and letting us know that. In addition to that, we had a 5-star review come in from Arson Elf. They said that this podcast beautifully combines high stakes, nail-biting suspense and thrill with clean and clever acting. This has been an absolute joy listening to, and they find themselves every week on the edge of their seat waiting for the next episode. I can agree with that sentiment in wanting to figure out what's going to be happening in the next episode as well, with the craziness that possibly will be happening. So stay tuned, Arson Elf, and thanks for the review. Lastly, we wanted to shout out a fan who reached out to us on our email, Elizabeth. She sent us a very, very heartfelt, really inspiring email for us to just keep pushing out content, saying that she had started listening to all the episodes on July 14th, and then 5.5 weeks later, I was completely caught up with the entire campaign at that point. That is, first off, incredibly flattering. As someone who has binged Sneak Attack in the past, it is no easy feat to do so. And so the fact that you would find us enjoyable to binge every single moment, I also understand the sadness that you experienced when that was over, when I finally got caught up to my favorite podcast. So thank you. That's incredibly high praise, and we're so grateful that you're along for the ride. And now you get to join in the suspense every single week, as was just mentioned in the previous review. But Elizabeth, thank you so much. Or should I say, aka Kara Domite, the human Taremi Outlander Barbarian. Thank you so much for listening along. Just want to give a quick shout out to our sister podcast, Improv Tabletop, where Ned takes a turn as the GM or a keeper of the books, maybe, or keeper of the books, where they run through many one-month adventures through Fate Accelerated or an ongoing Avatar Legends campaign. It's a ton of fun. It's a blast. Don't forget to give them a listen and shoot them a 5-star review as well. Josh, you want to shout out anything before we sign off here completely?
You can also find me on Twitter at Joshua the Hippie. If I'm doing anything interesting, I will have posted about it there. So
yes, don't forget to check out his ongoing campaign in a homebrew world, a 5e adventure, The Titans of Altera. You can also look at the entire backlog campaigns of Sneak Attack on a podcatcher as well. So don't forget to like, subscribe, share with your fellow friends and wacky adventures. But until next time, I'm Thomas, your DM, and around the table we have
Malamara.
Siri, how do you do a French accent? Lance Thalen.
Leeple.
And Ralph. And Jeremy.
Dispel! Let's keep that fire going, everybody, and we'll see you all next time.